I ached all over, with the handcuffs causing me particular agony, but my head was nearly clear. My first thought was one of regret that I no longer had my poison capsule. The secret police, of course, had taken my little necklace away as soon as they had found my unconscious body in the wreckage of the garage. I cursed myself for having failed to take the precaution of carrying the capsule in my mouth before the explosion. Probably it wouldn't have been found there, and I could have bitten it as soon as I woke up in the hospital. In the days to come, this regret was to recur again and again. My second thought was also one of regret and self-recrimination. I was tormented by a suspicion so strong that it nearly amounted to certainty that my ill-advised visit to Elsa 2 days earlier was responsible for my predicament. Evidently, someone from Elsa's group had followed me home and then had informed on me. The suspicion was later confirmed indirectly by my captors. I was alone with my aches and somber thoughts for only a few minutes before my second interrogation session began. This time, two FBI agents came into my cell, followed by a physician and three other men, two of the last three being large, muscular-looking Negroes. The third man was a stooped, white-haired figure of about 70. A nasty little smile flickered around the corners of his coarse-looking mouth, which occasionally split into a leering grin, revealing the gold caps on his tobacco-stained teeth. After the physician had quickly checked me over, pronounced me reasonably fit, and left, the two FBI agents jerked me to my feet and then took up positions near the door. The session was turned over to the sinister-looking fellow with the gold teeth. Speaking with a thick Hebrew accent and a disarmingly mild professorial manner, he introduced himself to me as Colonel Saul Rubin of Israeli Military Intelligence. Before I could even wonder what business a representative of a foreign government had questioning me, Rubin explained, "Since your racist activities are in violation of the International Genocide Convention, Mr. Turner, you will be tried by an international tribunal with representatives from both your country and mine. But first, we need some information from you so that we can bring also your fellow criminals to justice at the same time. I understand that you were not very cooperative last night. Let me warn you that it will go very hard with you if you fail to answer my questions. I have had a great deal of experience over the last 45 years in extracting information from people who did not wish to cooperate with me. In the end, they all told me everything I wanted to know, both the Arabs and the Germans. But it was a very unpleasant experience for those who were stubborn." Then, after a brief pause, "Ah, yes, some of those Germans back in 1945 and 1946, particularly the ones from the SS, were quite stubborn." The apparently satisfying recollection brought another hideous grin to Reuben's face, and I could not suppress a shudder. I remembered the horrible photographs one of our members, who was a former Army intelligence officer, had shown me years ago of German prisoners who had had their eyes gouged out, their teeth pulled, their fingers cut off, and their testicles smashed by sadistic interrogators, many wearing U.S. Army uniforms, prior to their conviction and execution by military courts as war criminals. I wanted nothing so much as to be able to smash the leering Jewish face before me with my fists, but my handcuffs would not permit me that luxury. I settled for spitting into Reuben's face and simultaneously aiming a kick at his crotch. Unfortunately, my stiff, aching muscles ruined my aim, and my kick only caught Reuben's thigh, sending him staggering back a couple of paces. Then the two Negro orderlies seized me. Under Reuben's instructions, they proceeded to give me a vicious, thorough, and scientific beating. When they finished, my whole body was a throbbing, searing mass of pain, and I was writhing on the floor, whimpering. The subsequent interrogation sessions were worse, much worse. Because a public show trial was planned for me, presumably in the Adolf Eichmann manner, Reuben avoided the eye gouging and finger cutting, which would have disfigured me, but the things he did were fully as painful. At this point is inserted an editorial note to the reader. Adolf Eichmann was a middle-level German official during World War II. 15 years after the war, in the year 39 before the new era, he was kidnapped in South America by Jews, flown to Israel, and made the central figure in an elaborately staged 2-year propaganda campaign to evoke sympathy from the non-Jewish world for Israel, the only haven for persecuted Jews. After fiendish torture, Eichmann was displayed in a soundproof glass cage during a 4-month show trial in which he was condemned to death for crimes against the Jewish people. Here the text resumes. For days at a time, I was completely out of my mind, and, as Reuben had predicted, I eventually told him everything he wanted to know. No human being could have done otherwise. During the torture sessions, the two FBI agents who were always present as spectators sometimes turned a bit pale, and when Reuben had his two black assistants thrust a long, blunt rod up into my rectum so that I was screaming and wriggling like a skewered pig, one looked as if he were going to be sick, but they never raised an objection. I guess it was much the same after World War II, when American officers of German descent calmly watched Jewish torturers work over their racial brothers who had been in the German army, and likewise saw nothing amiss when Negro GIs raped and brutalized German girls. Is it that they have been so brainwashed by the Jews that they hate their own race? Or is it that they are just insensitive bastards who will do whatever they're told as long as they keep drawing their salaries? Despite Reuben's exquisitely painful expertise, I am now thoroughly convinced that the organization's interrogation techniques are much more effective than the system's. We are scientific, whereas the system is merely brutal. Although Reuben broke my resistance and got answers to his questions, fortunately he failed to ask many of the right questions. When he had finally finished with me, after nearly a month-long nightmare, I had told him the names of most of the members of the organization that I knew, the locations of their hideouts, and who had been involved in various operations against the system.